The Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Drill to right field. That ball is hit well. It's to the wall, and it is gone. Jamer Candelario has his first Tigers home run. He showed some pop in the minor leagues, and that's his first big league homer with the Tigers. Jamer gets one back.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Throw does over the middle.
There you go.
Joe McQuinn, right side, to the house. Count it down with me, folks. 10-5, end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, that is big. How about 2-7, patrolling center field like a safety should.
Get ready. It's now Drive Time.
Barrett gets the snap, hands it to Weber. Weber sweeping left side to the Rutgers 45 to the 40, 35, 30, down the sideline. Weber to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone goes Mike Weber with a 46-yard touchdown run to increase Ohio State's lead by 6 more.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocked the shot. Then Gretzky in. 3-0. Los Angeles. Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, center of cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time. Glad to have you on board at the Superstore tonight, coming to you from the renovated and sparkling showroom here at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. As always, this show is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. You know, we were here at the Superstore last night, talked a lot of hockey. We had Paul Woods on, color analyst, Detroit Red Wings Radio Network, followed by Dr. Murray Howe, and of course his book, Nine Lessons My Father Taught Me. What a great guy he was, and what an interesting conversation. I blew through about three quarters of that book on the weekend. I finished it up last night, and I got to tell you, we all try to better ourselves a little bit in our lives. And, you know, Gordie Howe was, well, I told this story many, many times, my all-time favorite athlete. I was a baseball guy growing up. I mentioned it last night. My best buddy growing up was signed by the Tigers. He and I were inseparable, long toss every day. Loved the game. But back in the days before technology, we had rabbit ears, and we used to, Mike Honest was his name, by the way, grew up on the same street. But we used to pull in hockey night in Canada. They used to join the games in the second period. Most nights it was the Toronto Maple Leafs, and the Red Wings were involved in some of those games. And, of course, Channel 50 out of Detroit, Bruce Martin and Bud Lynch doing the play-by-play. And the guy we were transfixed with, number 9, Gordie Howe. As tough as they come, greatest player, in my opinion, that ever played, and as humble and as nice a man as you'd ever want to meet. You know, I talked about this on the show not long ago. 2016, besides losing a family member, I also remember that was the year, and I mentioned it on this show before, think about the nicknames. 2016, we lose Mr. Hockey. Think about the name, Mr. Hockey, Gordie Howe. We lose the greatest, Muhammad Ali, and we lose the king, Arnold Palmer, in 2016. So it was great last night reminiscing with Dr. Murray Howe here at the Superstore. He's one of us. He lives in Sylvania, and again, it was great seeing him last night and talking to Paul Woods, as well as the Red Wings battling for a playoff spot in the East. Now, tomorrow night down at Bowling Green, these two clubs have got together since 1919, the Bowling Green Falcons and the University of Toledo Rockets. Believe it or not, the Rockets are just one game behind in that series. Bowling Green's won 39, they've lost 38, and there's been four ties in the first 82 matchups between these teams. So they do it again tomorrow down at Bowling Green. Rockets are a heavy favorite in this one, by the way. University of Toledo Rockets are 8-2 on the year, 5-1 in the MAC. Bowling Green 2-8, 2-4 in the MAC. Rockets are a 17-point favorite in that game tomorrow night. You know, I know Mike O'Brien doesn't want to hear this, and I respect Mike, and I've had him on this show, and I'm a UT guy. Both my daughters graduated from there, so this comment is, believe me, nothing to harm the University of Toledo or Mike O'Brien or Paul Helmgren, who's a great friend of this show as well. But these Wednesday night games, I got to tell you, I just wish this was a noon Saturday get-together. I know we're going to have the game here. Jim, what's the lineup and what station for the UTBG game tomorrow?
Well, I've always tried for these weekday games the last couple of years, we're the Bowling Green affiliate side of things, of course, that if I can play these Maction weekday games on 106.5 instead of the normal Talk Radio 100.7 for Bowling Green, I can and will, and that's going to present itself tomorrow. 7 o'clock the coverage time, 8 o'clock the kick. You'll be all right here on the ticket.
No, good stuff. A great rivalry as well. You know what, though? I mean, again, the Rockets were 17-point favorite in this game. Look what happened this weekend. You know, from Georgia on down, the teams that got knocked off this past weekend. You know, Jason Candle's biggest challenge is selling this to his team that, hey, listen, Bowling Green's going to be pumped up. They're going to be ready for this game. They probably will play the best game of the year. I mean, look at the Lions and the Browns. I mean, for crying out loud, that game was tied late in the third quarter, the Browns and the Lions. You got to be ready. I think it's one of the toughest things to do is have a team that's rolling on, like the University of Toledo Rockets. They were on the fringe, on the perimeter of the top 25, and lo and behold, they get knocked off by OU. That wasn't a real huge upset, but the University of Toledo Rockets better be wary tomorrow night, of course, when the Bowling Green Falcons host the Rockets. Again, we'll have it right here. Good job, Jim, on 106.5 The Ticket. Ohio State, big favorite over Illinois. Of course, Wisconsin, 7.5-point favorite over Michigan on the weekend. Another quick note, Face Off the Hockey Show tomorrow. You know, I called an old friend of this network, Norm Wehmer, today, or actually text him, and I was just trying to pinpoint the first year that we did Face Off the Hockey Show, and the first year was 2000. So this will be the 18th season for Face Off the Hockey Show. I think I said 20 years last night, but you know what? I wanted to get that accurate, and I wanted to make it correct. Tomorrow night, Face Off the Hockey Show from Savannah Tamashanner. Speaking of Savannah Tamashanner, Dr. Murray Howe is out there tonight, again, signing books. That will be a great get-together as well. By the way, that was Gordy's old hangout here. When Murray wanted to get him out of the house, where'd he take him? Took him to a hockey rink, and his home towards the end, when it came to arenas and rinks, was Savannah Tamashanner. Other news and notes. Listen, I can't get excited about basketball, but tonight Michigan State does play Duke, number one and number two teams ranked nationally, so I guess you got to keep a close eye on that one. NBA, as I mentioned last night, not a lot of interest there, but the Pistons are 10-3, so tomorrow as the Pistons play in Milwaukee, we're going to get a live report from courtside by Rod Beard of the Detroit News, previewing the Milwaukee Bucks and the 10-3. That's right, the 10-3 Detroit Pistons tomorrow night. So, again, not getting too cranked up about basketball, but tonight you got number one playing number two and a red-hot Detroit Pistons team, of course, that has moved from the Little Caesars or from Auburn Palace downtown to the Little Caesars Arena. All right, everybody, that's the setup for the show tonight. Stick around. John Wagner right around the corner. He is the beat writer for Bowling Green State University. Back to talk some football after this timeout.
Here, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, a little of the late, great Tom Petty. Saw about a four-hour documentary on him the other day. Just absolutely unbelievable. What a writer this guy was. It was just absolutely prolific. We're talking University of Toledo football, Bowling Green football. Of course, they square off tomorrow night down at Bowling Green. Rockets are a 17-point favorite in that game. Toledo is 8-2, Bowling Green 2-8, Rockets 5-1 on the MAC, Bowling Green 2-4 on the MAC.
Bowling Green State University beat writer, Toledo Mud Hens beat writer, John Wagner joins us. John, how are you, sir?
Mike, I am shocked. Thank goodness I was seated for that introduction. I was for sure we were either going to talk BG women's basketball because they've got a morning game tomorrow, or men's basketball because they host Florida Gulf Coast on Saturday, or BG hockey in their big series at Minnesota State. I'm stunned that there's something else going on. But
you know what?
I'll do my best.
John, I almost tricked you because what I almost said was this before we talk about the matchup tomorrow night, the Bowling Green Falcons and the University of Toledo Rockets. I wanted to talk a little bit about one of my favorite coaches briefly. How's old Chris Bergeron doing?
Thank goodness I needed to be seated for that. You would have thrown me there. Mike, he's doing well. He had his press conference today. They have a huge series this weekend with Minnesota State. They are doing well in the WCHA. They had a five-point weekend out of six at home against Lake Superior State this past weekend. Minnesota State is the benchmark in the WCHA. They're the preseason league favorite. They're ranked fifth in the country. They've already played at BG once this year, Mike, and split two games. Minnesota State winning Friday, BG bouncing back with a nice effort to win on Saturday. But it's a huge series, and Chris is, and just like the rest of his team, they're excited. They're getting votes in the national poll, and they think they are capable of big things this year. And to this point, we have no evidence to success to make us think contrary to that.
No, you just mentioned and used the word excited. Every time I'm around Chris Bergeron, I'm ready to strap the blades on and take a couple of shifts and go in the corner and dig some loose pucks out. I love the guy. And listen, this isn't a statement about me, but I've been around some pretty good ones from the likes of Larry Robinson and Jock LaMare and a few other guys in my life. But I've always loved the energy level of Chris Bergeron. Best of luck to them this weekend. Next question, and a big one, as John Wagner joins us here on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Ingredients you can trust. Can Bowling Green win this football game tomorrow?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, this is college football. If I would have asked you 2 weeks ago, do you really think Iowa could beat Ohio State on Saturday? Or, you know, I mean, it's college football. So the answer is yes. Is it going to be easy? No. Am I predicting they're going to do it? No, I'm not. It's sadly, and Mike, this is how I explain when Bowling Green plays a big time opponent, like a Big Ten school, when they played Michigan State or Northwestern. In my mind, there are four quadrants that a game can fall into, and it depends on how each team plays. Like, for example, Bowling Green is either going to play well or play poorly. And in this instance, Toledo is going to either play well or play poorly. And what basically has to happen to win one of those big games is Bowling Green is going to have to play well, and Toledo's going to have to play poorly. I mean, the talent, there's a discrepancy there, you know, and that often shows up on the field. BG is going to have to play very well. They're going to have to execute a very smart game plan, and they're going to have to execute it pretty much flawlessly because, you know, you don't have to look any farther than some of Toledo's recent games.
And John, I got to tell you, I mean, listen, I heard all that, and I get it. And the other side of this, it's an emotional game, always has been. They've been playing since 1919. And, I mean, you just mentioned Ohio State and Iowa. And nobody in the world could tell me that, you know, after that big come-from-behind win against Penn State, that Ohio State wasn't thinking correctly. I get a kick out of this. You've been around athletes your whole life as well. Yep, we prepared them well. We reminded them all week. We can't have a letdown. We got to take Iowa seriously. Players think they're doing the right thing. They're convincing themselves that they're doing the right thing. But all of a sudden, in the back of somebody's mind, there's a crevice there that you're maybe only giving yourself about 90%, but think, you know, it's 100%. So I agree with you completely.
Yeah, and the other end of this is you have to remember that in last year's game, Toledo, I believe, was a 30-point favorite. I mean, it was in the high 20s, whatever the number was. I think it started 27 and actually moved to 30. And if you remember that game, Toledo had to score a touchdown with 30 seconds left to win it. It was tied until they scored, literally in the final moments of the game. Again, not predicting that's what's going to happen, not telling you that that's how I see it playing out. I'm just telling you that it's college football. Anything's possible.
You know, you might be able to give me a different take than the obvious answer here, but without question, in his lifetime, Coach Mike Jinks' his biggest game.
Yes and no. I mean, to a degree, I mean, you got to remember, his first game as a head coach was against Ohio State. And maybe if you want to say it's his biggest game as a head coach at BG, we could discuss it. I mean, he also won state titles at the high school level, played in, bowl games while he was at Texas Tech. So, you know, it's an important game. I'm not sure if I put it on a scale as number one, but yeah, I mean, we're not going to have to go far down the list to find it, that's for sure.
Well, you mentioned a lot of the things, I guess they're intangibles, or some of the other things that could be part of the script here as John Wagner joins us on Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mihalik. We're coming to you from the showroom, by the way. You mentioned some ingredients in the DNA about this one tomorrow night down at Bowling Green. From an X's and O's standpoint, let's talk about that, not who's playing better and who's going to have a bad game or a good game, John. But, you know, if Bowling Green was to win this, you know, give me a couple guys in the cast here that are going to have to come through and what they're going to have to do for BG to pull off the upset.
Well, offensively, BG's line has had some injuries the last couple of weeks, and they are depleted there. So guys like Ryan Hunter and young players like Caleb Bright are going to have to stand up and play well. They've got a true freshman quarterback in Jared Dagey. He is going to have to play well. And playing well doesn't mean he throws for 400 yards and six touchdowns. It means he gets them in the right plays. He doesn't take big losses. He doesn't turn the ball over. And they need their receiver core to step up to really help Jared Dagey. Guys like T.O. Redding, who's just a freak athletically. I mean, he's been on SportsCenter, I believe, each of the last three games for a catch that he's made in a contest. Scotty Miller is as fast as you're going to see. Datron Guyton is a transfer from Oregon State, very talented guy. And they have lots of talented receivers. They need those guys to step up and play well. Defensively, they really need, BG needs its defensive line to step up and have a game. We saw last week when Toledo played Ohio that, you know, that any team struggles when the quarterback's under pressure. That's not a Logan Woodside problem, that any quarterback under duress is going to make mistakes. So you have to put him under duress, and that's going to come down to the defensive line. If they can't get pressure with four guys and have to blitz, they may have some success doing that, but you leave guys in single coverage when you blitz. And if you don't get there when you blitz, the outcome is almost always a big play for the offense. And one other group, real quick, Mike, the one area where BG may actually have an advantage is on special teams. Joseph Davidson's really a terrific punter, All-American caliber. Jake Suter from Central Catholic's the place kicker. He's been money all year long. Their return guys have done a really nice job. BG has to win the special teams to give themselves a chance.
Well, that's a great point. I was going to ask, getting back to blitzing in the defensive line, John, have you seen any games this year that you did say, wow, despite what's going on here in the regular season and some improvement and some kind of going the other way backwards at times, have you seen I think you nailed it there. The key is a pass rush on Woodside, blitz or no blitz. Have you seen that side from Bowling Green this year where you think it's going to be effective?
Well, it's kind of funny. I actually wrote a story that was in Monday's paper about it. They were able to blitz at Kent State because Kent State had a lot of spread packages and it limited the number of blockers. So BG blitzed and had tremendous success putting pressure on Kent State's quarterback. I mean, Nate Locke, their linebacker, had four tackles for loss in the game. I mean, they put them in all kinds of duress, and they'd help them win the game. Last week, they were hoping to do the same thing at Buffalo, but Buffalo used a lot of tighter formations, two tight ends. backs in the backfield, they never went empty or very rarely went empty. So they had somebody to block. And when BG blitzed and didn't pick it up, it was down the field, down the field, down the field. They threw for almost 400 yards. So that's, you kind of, I mean, I love blitzing like the next guy, but you can't blitz on every down. You just can't. And I mean, unless you get there on every down. When you don't get there, you have set yourself up for a huge play because you have single coverage amongst your DBs, and that could spoil trouble.
John Wagner joins us. Toledo Blade beat writer, Bowling Green State University sports, Mud Hens as well. John, final question of the football game. I mean, a quick baseball question for you, but anything different this week in Bowling Green's preparation that you've heard or witnessed because it is a quote-unquote a rivalry game?
Not so much about the rivalry game. It's actually a little more about seniors because this will be the seniors' final home game at the Deut. So that obviously has some emotional impact on this team. But at this time of year, just because of the injuries, BG went and tried to get guys healthy. I mean, we talked to some of their folks on Friday, and when they played at Buffalo Tuesday and had to bus back after the game, so God only knows what hour of the day they got back to BG. It was an ugly number, whatever it was. And that Wednesday day was a mandatory go into the training room, get treatment. Even if you're 100%, go get treatment. And I say, quote-unquote, 100%, because as you know, Mike, at this time of year, there's no football player who's 100%. Even if they're healthy, there are nicks and bruises and bangs and things like that. And they made it an effort, a concerted effort, to try and get healthier for this game.
Well, I can tell you what, 5.5 hours to Buffalo, 305 miles. Made that trip many times in the world of hockey, so I know exactly how tough that trip was. Hey, you made a great friendship and a good relationship with Larry Parrish, and you've worked with other managers and coaches. What'd you think about the Mud Hens hire?
Well, it's interesting. Doug Mankiewicz is expected to be named the manager pretty much any day now. The big connection to Ron Gardenhire is that Mankiewicz played for him, and that's what the Tigers are looking for. You need a AAA manager who can give the major league manager the skinny on the AAA team. It's who should we call up? What can I expect from this guy when I call him up? Who's hot? Who's not? And you need to have a kind of a relationship there. It's funny, though, Mike, Doug Mankiewicz, and I say this to you specifically, do you know what his favorite hockey team was when he was a wee lad?
Well, I'm going to have to say the Gold Diggers of the Storm.
The Toledo Gold Diggers. He grew up in Point Place until he was 6 years old. The family moved to Florida. He was a gigantic Gold Diggers fan. I thought that was fascinating.
I'm trying to figure out what Gold Digger era he would have been. The first year, John, was 74-75, and I think they operated through 86-87. I was there from 80 to 85, so I'm kind of curious if he was rooting. I'm trying to put his age together here. If he was a Garvin-era Gold Digger fan or a Bill Inglis Gold Digger-era fan or a Pete Mihalovic Gold Digger-era fan. I got to figure that out. So,
Anyways, when I talk to him, I'll get an answer for you there, Mike. My guess is that it's the later period because, you know, he played in the 90s and the early 2000s, so...
No, good stuff, and I know that question's at the top of your list, John, so thanks a lot. And, hey, there's a Vito's Pizza on the way to your address, of course, which we will keep under wrap like the CIA, but thanks for coming on. We'll be reading tomorrow. We'll be reading on Thursday. Always appreciate it, John.
Yeah, we have a huge preview in tomorrow's print edition, Mike, so I firmly suggest if you're interested in the game, go check it out. And thanks for having me.
John. No, always a pleasure. Daddy Wags joined us. John Wagner back with the TAS Electronics Update. Little sports, little weather, little traffic as well. Brought to you by SuperFitnessToledo.com. This is Drive Time, and it's driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik.
The cure for annoying traffic jams. It's the Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
right, everybody. Welcome back to the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. A little credence for you. We're glad to have you on board, everybody. Talk some University of Toledo Rockets football in the first portion of the hour. Of course, they take on the Bowling Green Falcons. We're going to have the game right here on ESPN 106.5. The Ticket pregame show tomorrow, as Jim just informed me, is at 7 o'clock. Kickoff is at 8. Rockets are 8-2, 5-1 in the MAC. Bowling Green 2-8, 2-4 in the MAC. Rockets are favored by 17 points in that game tomorrow. Brian Buckey joins us, beat writer, University of Toledo Sports. Hello, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing well, Mike. How you doing?
Very good. Thanks for coming on. Hey, we've seen a lot of college football games over the last month or so where, you know, underdogs have gone in and all of a sudden surprised somebody because, I don't know if you want to take other teams for granted or, you know, what the DNA was on some of these upsets. But again, the Rockets are 17-point favorite. I don't think anybody in the world expects them to lose that game if there should be an upset. Tell me a little bit about that. And I'm going to put it this way. What would the Rockets have not done right?
Well, I think Bowling Green will definitely have the focus of Toledo, obviously, with the rivalry game. Looking back on last year, I mean, Toledo was, a 30-point favorite in that game, and they won late on a Kareem Hunt touchdown to give them the win. So they won't overlook Bowling Green despite the 2-8 record. But I think for Toledo to lose the game, I think they'd have to kind of revert back to their old ways a little bit in the run defense. You know, they struggled with that with the physicality up front of Ohio last week. So I think that'll be a key to watch is the run defense. I know Bowling Green has a talented freshman back, and they have some depth at that position. So I think the run stopping of Toledo's defense will be one of the keys.
Brian Buckey joins us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients that you can trust. I'm a big fan as well. Hey, I don't want to regress here, Brian, at all, but I don't think I've had John in a while. Were you surprised at all on the win by the Ohio University Bobcats?
No, I'm not surprised, really. It's a tough place to play on the road. Ohio beat Toledo here at the Glass Bowl last season, so they play the Rockets tough. And they just kind of got – I was a little surprised with the score, obviously, just being 38-10. So they got kind of overmatched on the line of scrimmage on both sides. They weren't able to run the ball. Ohio had, like, close to 400 yards rushing. With their quarterback got into the mix, too. Nathan Rourke was a good runner, and he had a bunch of over 100 yards against Toledo. So not too surprised, and I think that Toledo will definitely use that as motivation because they can't really slip up anymore if they want to get to that MAC championship game.
Which probably will be against OU again, so you're absolutely right. Hey, Brian, what's the update? Anything on Terry Swanson?
Haven't heard anything recently. At the press conference on Friday, Jason Candle was optimistic that he would have Swanson, but I don't think it's a guarantee right now. Probably more of a game time decision.
Anything different this week? Again, as Brian Buckey joins us here on Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik, and the Vito's Pizza phone line. Anything? And listen, I'm a hockey guy. We're at every practice for both teams, so I still don't get the CIA secrecy of this college football. I guess I get it, but I know you weren't inside the gates this week, but we're at the press conference. But anything, because it's University of Toledo and Bowling Green, which the first meeting was 19-19, did you notice anything different going on out there in Bancroft this week that you normally don't notice?
There's definitely, you know, a buzz around town usually during this game, and I think this year's no different. Even though it's, you know, a weeknight game, and it's an 8 o'clock, you know, kick at Bowling Green. But I think as far as Toledo's approach, they're trying not to add too much importance to it. They're trying to treat it like a normal week, and they're a team of kind of routine and they like to keep things the same week to week and not get too high, too low. Even though they're coming off a loss, so they'll be ready to play.
Hey, tell me you know, listen, we know Woodside is in the middle of things, and Swanson, if he's healthy, will be a key in this. Give me a couple names, if you could. Brian Bucky, a beat writer for The Blade that covers the Rockets. Anybody else in this matchup tomorrow night if that you think might be a key or a part of or a portion of the outcome?
I think defensively, Ola Adeniyi, the junior defensive end, has really been playing well lately. I think in his past four or five games, he has like four sacks. He leads the team in that category. So his pass rush could be key. And then on the offensive side, you know, Deontay Johnson has really stepped up with Cody Thompson being out, and he's really emerged as Logan Woodside's favorite target. He's been over, you know, 100 receiving yards in the past, I think, three or four games. So I think he's definitely kind of coming into his own as a big play threat and a good target for Logan Woodside.
Hey, you know, Miami was a loss. We get that. I mean, they've climbed all the way up near the top of the polls. Number one, the other loss on the road to OU. This one's on the road against Bowling Green, even though it's only, 15-18 miles down the road. I mean, I don't think there's an answer to this, Brian, but I'm going to pick your brain a little bit. Anything going on with the Rockets on the road here that you've noticed that, I don't know, is worth touching on?
I don't think there's anything big that would, you know, lead to more troubles on the road necessarily. It's just tough to play on the road. I mean, in the conference where, you know, you're like you said, it's, you know, 20 or so miles away, so it's not a big road trip or anything, but it's different surroundings. Everything's a little bit different than your normal routine at home. So it's always tough to win on the road in the conference. It's always tough to win on the road at your rival. So those will definitely be some challenges for Toledo in this game.
Great stuff, Brian. We'll be reading tomorrow. I'm sure you'll have the big preview and the Toledo Blade of the game tomorrow night. Plus, we'll be reading on Thursday as well. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
That's Brian Bucky, beat writer, Toledo Blade, Rockets and Bowling Green Falcons. Again, how about this lifetime? Bowling Green's 139. University of Toledo's 138. There's been four ties. First meeting was in 1919. Tomorrow night, again, the Rockets last year were a 30-point favorite in this game, and they had to score in their last possession to win the football game last year. The Rockets this year, a 17-point favorite at Bowling Green. Jim Cushel has moved the game right over here to the ticket. Pre-game show tomorrow night here on 106.5 is at 7 o'clock. Kickoff tomorrow night is at 8 o'clock. Rockets are 8-2. Bowling Green, 2-8. All right, everybody, back to close it out. Another edition of Drive Time almost in the books. Back after this.
Quit banging your head on that steering wheel and turn up the dial. It's Drive Time on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Drive Time. Been a UT and a Bowling Green evening. Talked to John Wagner, Bowling Green beat writer of The Blade. Brian Bucky, University of Toledo Rockets beat writer for The Blade. Again, we'll have the game tomorrow night, pregame show at 7, kickoff at 8 o'clock, Rockets and the Bowling Green Falcons. You know, just looking at, I'll use an old-time term, the wire here. You know, I just was reading a little bit about LiAngelo Ball and Jalen Hill and Cody Riley. We're on a plane back to Los Angeles. I mean, you're overseas in China, a communist country, shoplifting. I got to tell you, I think these three guys are very, very, very fortunate. I mean, you're out of the country, and, you know, you've been committing or have committed a crime. You know, there's nobody can help you, really. I mean, who knows? I'm guessing some folks from maybe the embassy or whoever got involved in some international relations like this helped these kids out. But I just think very, very fortunate, and, you know, the Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott said that the matter has been resolved to the satisfaction of the Chinese authorities. Those three kids are very, very lucky. Other sports news, as I mentioned, haven't gotten into the basketball thing too much, but I have to tell you, a pretty good matchup tonight. Number one Duke against number two Michigan State. Cavaliers struggling, so I, you know, really on the NBA side, wasn't going to talk about too much, but mean, the Pistons, geez, they're off to a 10-3 start. We're going to have Rod Beard on tomorrow, live from the Bradley Center in Milwaukee, coming to us from the floor tomorrow night to give us a preview when the Bucks take on the visiting Detroit Pistons. Anything else going on, Jim, that you and Bob touched on today that we should give or update our listeners on the way home?
Well, in terms of a programming update, we have another high school football forum with Bill Clark and the crew, 7 to 8 tonight. They're going to talk with essentially all the remaining playoff teams' coaches. So that's Craig Rutherford of Eastwood, Ken Winters of Whitmer, Greg Dempsey of Central Catholic, and even crossing the border, they're in the state semifinal mode. Jason Mensing of Whiteford will also join Bill Clark. That's 7 to 8 high school football forum tonight here on The Ticket.
No, good stuff, and hats off to all those schools. You know, Whiteford, I mean, every time you know, you're on the internet or look at the paper, regardless whether it's football or other sports, I know girls softball had a tremendous year a couple of years back. They do a great job up there in Whiteford, and Bedford's had some good years as well. Whitmer Panthers, of course, they just continue to roll on, and another tremendous year for the Panthers. Craig Dempsey and Central Catholic, what can you say about that? All right, everybody, just a quick note. Tomorrow night will be at Sylvania Tam-O-Shanter, 5 o'clock for drive time. Then from 6 to 7, starting our 18th year, Face Off the Hockey Show. Not quite sure what road we're going to go down on Face Off the Hockey Show tomorrow night. I might try to get a hold of Dan Watson, the Walleye coach. Aaron Portsline is one of our big National Hockey League insider guys. Maybe catch up in the NHL and who's doing what this time of the year and what direction some teams are going and what direction some other teams are going. That'll do it here for the Super Sore tonight. As always, special thanks to the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik, and also, of course, our good friends at Vito Pizza and all of our sponsors, everybody. Appreciate you tuning in. We'll do it again tomorrow from the Loft Restaurant, Sylvania Tam-O-Shanter, from the Superstore. This is Mike Miller saying so long and good night, everybody.